Well, this morning, as you saw in the bumper video, we're going to be focusing on Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. As Pastor Ron mentioned, the title of my message this morning is, Are You All In? And I want to focus on this passage of Scripture, and I'll be honest with you, I have really struggled this week and the week before with this passage of Scripture because it's a very, very difficult passage of Scripture. Romans is a book of rich theology. In chapter 1 through chapter 11, Paul really lays down some systematic theology and some difficult theology. But then in chapter 12 is where he kind of goes for the big ask, the big command. And it's a process. But I want to unpack that passage this morning and go through it. We live in a difficult world. We live in a challenging world. We live in a world that is constantly and completely changing at all times. The way communication is distributed and is passed on is just amazing these days, how quickly things move. We truly live in a changing world. Social media has really changed how we communicate and how information is passed on to us. And that we could talk this morning about the good and the positive of social media, the bad and the negative. But one thing social media has done, it's helped me with, and I think helps a lot of us, it helps us be a little more concise. Take Twitter, for example. The whole purpose of Twitter is 144 characters. You need to communicate in 144 characters, 144 spaces and words. You need to get your thoughts out. And in our world, think about it. Anytime someone has something to say in the public arena, a politician, our president, celebrities, people who, you know, think they're important, what do we always hear? Well, they said on Twitter. They released a statement on Twitter. My mom has her iPad, my mom and I are political junkies. We love politics and the news and all those kind of things. And she'll say, "Do you see Twitter's blowing up? Do you see what's going on?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, okay." And so what I want to do this morning, as I unpack this passage of Scripture, we live in a Twitter world. I'm going to narrow down, not to 140 characters, but I'm going to narrow down Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 into four words. It's a process, this passage of Scripture. It's a process for our Christian life. And I'll be honest with you, it's familiar to many of us, but it is a very, very challenging, difficult, hard passage of Scripture for us as believers to carry out. It's very difficult. As I was thinking about it and praying through and honestly struggling through it this week, I was reminded of a movie that I saw about, it's been a long time, maybe 15, 16 years ago, called A League of Their Own. I don't know if you've ever seen it or heard of it. It's a movie where it talks about the first women's professional baseball team. And there's a moment at the end that has stuck with me ever since I saw it. It's when the lead character, Gina Davis, is quitting the team. Go ahead and check this out.
Dottie, write to us. We'll miss you.
We will, thanks. Good luck in the World Series.
Taking a little day trip?
No. Bob and I are driving home to Oregon.
You know, I really thought you were a ball player.
Well, you were wrong.
Was I?
Yeah. It is only a game, Jimmy. It's only a game, and I don't need this. I have Bob. I don't need this. I don't.
I gave away 5 years at the end of my career to drinking. 5 years. And now there isn't anything I wouldn't give to get back any one day of it.
Well, we're different.
Dottie, you want to go back home to Oregon and make 100 babies? Great, I'm in no position to tell anyone how to live. But sneaking out like this, quitting, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. Baseball is what gets inside you. It's what lights you up. You can't deny that.
It just got too hard.
It's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great.
I love that clip because, let's be honest, life is hard, isn't it? Life is difficult. Life is full of challenges. And as a Christian, life, the Christian life, the Christian's journey can be difficult. Let's be honest, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it, wouldn't they? But you know, I love that last line, the hard is what makes it great. I love that ending because sometimes, I don't know about you, but my journey in the Christian life is difficult. Sometimes it is very, very hard. But as I process through, as I go through the journey, as I go through the Christian life, yes, there are times I struggle. There are times I wrestle with the Lord. I wrestle with Scripture. I wrestle with decisions. But the hard is what makes it great. And this morning, I really feel this passage of Scripture really, really processes that and really helps us that, because what he is asking, this is not an easy ask. This is not an easy command. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and read it together. It's on the screen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and what is acceptable and perfect. Before I unpack this, and I'm probably going to lose some cool points here, okay, by this next analogy. And my son, I'll make a disclaimer, my son told me not to do this, okay? And my wife agreed with him, but when I read this passage of Scripture, I'm reminded of a song from my childhood. It goes like this.
You put your right foot in, you put your right foot out, you put your right foot in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about.
Did you know? Maybe some of you knew this, but this song was written in the 40s and was actually like an orchestra song that when people went to dance clubs would dance to. It wasn't like a silly kid song like it is today. Did y'all know that? I didn't know that, okay? It's evolved through the years and all that kind of stuff. But when I read this scripture, when it says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. See, here's the deal. God doesn't want just your left arm. He wants all of us. He wants us all in. So this morning, as we go through this passage of Scripture, and as we unpack this, and as we walk through it, here's my challenge. Are you all in? Are you all in? Are you ready to be all in? Because God wants all of you. God doesn't want just your left arm, and he just wants you to mess around and shake it all about. No, God wants all of you. And we're going to unpack that and what that means today. But that is what Paul is asking. Actually, that's what Paul is commanding. I think a lot of us who are maybe new to the Christian journey or sometimes get unclear, we wonder what and ask ourselves, what does God really want from us? What does God want from us? And it could be summed up in one simple word, a relationship. God wants a relationship. God desires a relationship from us. See, a relationship isn't just something where we sign a commitment card or we walk down an aisle and we make a decision and then we walk off. Did you ever hear about the wedding where there was a wedding one time when the groom came down and he was with his groomsmen. He was standing here and everyone stood up and the doors opened and the bride came down and she was beautiful and the groom was just taken back by her beauty, and they went through the service and they exchanged their love for each other. And the moment came where they were waiting, where they pronounced them husband and wife, and they kissed, and then the bride went that way and the groom went that way. And they didn't talk again. That didn't really happen. That's not how it works. See, when we're in a relationship with Jesus, it's a relationship. I'm in a relationship with my wife. We just celebrated last week our 20th wedding anniversary. All right. Well, thank you. That's more for her than me, okay? She's put up with me. But here's the deal, and I don't mean to be cheesy, but I love her more than I did 20 years ago, and here's why. Because we talk to each other and we laugh together and we go through life together and we depend on each other and we help each other and we benefit from our relationship and we're stronger because we have a relationship. We go through life together. We've built that relationship and it's stronger than ever. And that's what a relationship is, and that's what God desires to have with us. Is a relationship where we share our joys and our tragedies and our challenges and our good times and our bad times. That's what God wants. I love this quote. Go ahead and put this up here by J.I. Packard. It says, "What matters supremely, therefore, is not the last analysis, the fact that I know God, but the larger fact which underlies it, the fact that He knows me. And I am graven on the palms of His hands. I am never out of His mind. All my knowledge of Him depends on His sustained initiative in knowing me. I know Him because He first knew me and continues to know me." The God of this universe, that's the God of this universe who created all things, wants to know me. A.W. Tozer says this, "The whole outlook of mankind might be changed if we could all believe that we dwell under a friendly sky and that the God of heaven, though exalted in power and majesty, is eager," I love that word, eager, "to be friends with us." Do we think of our relationship with God that way? Yes, He is our Lord, He is our Savior, He is our King, but He is also our friend, and that is His agenda. That is His goal. His goal for us, and I spoke about this a couple weeks ago, is to become more Christ-like, to become more like Him. That's what He desires. That's what He wants from us. And to do that, as we begin that relationship, as part of that relationship, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, He is commanding us to take that next step. And here's what I want to do. I want us to unpack that section by section, phrase by phrase. Let's go ahead and start here with verse 1. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice." Paul presents God's mercy as the strongest argument for giving ourselves to Him. When we recognize that what Christ has done for us through Jesus, I don't know about you, but that's enough. That's enough for me to give it all, because you know what? Jesus is the grace giver. He's the one who saved us. We are sinners and we are separated from God. I say this over and over and over again because I don't know any other way to describe the gospel, but we are over here and God is over here. And in the middle of us is sin. It separates us from God. And the only way we can go from here to here is through Jesus. John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to the Father except through me." The only way we can know God is through Jesus Christ, to have that relationship. And it's through His mercies, all that He has done, all that He is for us. As a pastor and doing life with so many people and walking through life with so many people, tragedy is a big part of life. And we've walked through a lot of tragedies together, death in families, hospital accidents, or accidents where we have to go to the hospital and things like that. And I say this over and over and over again, and this might sound cheesy, but I don't really care. I don't know how people live life without Jesus in their lives. I don't want to try, because life is challenging. Life is hard, but God has done so much. God has done so much in our lives. And it's through His tender, He appeals to us through His tender mercies, all He's done. Will you take the next step? And here it is. Paul said, "To present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." All right, here's where the hokey pokey part comes in, okay? Will we be a living sacrifice? Will we present our bodies to God? Are we all in? Are we willing to give it all to God? You might think, well, some of this terminology is kind of strange. What does God mean by put our bodies in? Here's what it means. He means He wants your all. He wants all of you. He doesn't want just you on Sunday morning. See, this is part of, He said, this is part of our true worship. He doesn't want us just for an hour on Sunday morning. He wants all of you, your entire life, every conversation, every problem, every day. He wants you all in. It's a living sacrifice. See, in the Old Testament times, when they would make a sacrifice, it would be an animal, a lamb, a perfect lamb that they would slaughter and take to the altar, to the priest. And that was their sacrifice. Well, in the New Testament, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. And because he was the ultimate sacrifice, we can go to God and we could put us all in. The use of body here, I don't know what you think of that or what you know, for me, I'm thinking, God, why would you want this? This is awkward. This is out of shape. That's not what God's saying. That's not the point. He's saying, I want it all. There's two living sacrifices in the Bible, Isaac and Jesus. Isaac was willing to lay down his life. God saved him at the last minute and brought a ram. Jesus was the ultimate living sacrifice. See, I think a lot of times we are so afraid to be that living sacrifice. We are so afraid to go all in because we're afraid, what's God going to do? What's God going to expect of me? What's God going to command? Is God going to call me to do something uncomfortable? Yes. Is God going to call me to do something that might be awkward? Yes. Some of you are afraid, is God going to call me to Africa? Yes. Been there, done that. It's not that bad, actually. It's pretty cool. But I understand that fear. I understand, are we all in? Are we willing to give it all? I read a story this week of a great missionary called Robert, and I'm going to butcher his name here, so excuse me, Robert Moffat. And the story goes like this. He was born in Scotland, and he was born in a small town, a small village, and his family went to a small church, small Methodist church, and the pastor was under a lot of scrutiny. The pastor, a lot of the deacons, a lot of the people in the church weren't real happy with him because not much was happening in the church. Not many people lives were being changed. People weren't getting saved. And so they came to the pastor after several years and said, you know, it just things haven't been so well. We haven't seen much life change. We haven't seen people's lives change. And he said, well, you know, there was little Bobby. And they said, little Bobby? They said, yeah, he was about 5 or 6 years old. He gave his life to the Lord. He came to the altar one night and gave his life to the Lord. And they said, we don't remember. Tell us about him a little more. And he said, well, he came one night when I was preaching, gave his life to the Lord. A couple years later, when he was in his teens, he was at a service, and it was a missionary service, and the offering plate came by. And Bobby didn't have any money, so he took the offering plate and he put it down. And the usher kind of looked at him like, what are you doing? And he said, I don't have any money, but all I have is myself. And he put his entire self in the offering plate. Now, I'm not going to do that because I did it at home practicing and I broke one of these. So I'll just leave it here. But he said, all I have is myself. I'm all in. And that night, he dedicated his life to the Lord, and he became a missionary. And he went to Africa, and for 52 years, he served the Lord in Africa. He translated the Bible into another language. His daughter was born on the mission field. She married. She was the wife of David Livingston. For 52 years, he took one furlough. He was all in. He gave his life completely to the Lord. See, a good way to look at what that means and to understand that is when we're all in, when we become that living sacrifice, is we take a blank sheet of paper and we sign our name to the bottom of it and we say, God, you fill in the blanks. Now, let's be honest. It's easy for me to talk about that and to say that, but is that something we've applied in our lives? It's difficult. It's challenging. It's scary. But here's what I love about God's Word. God's Word gives us a way. So let's kind of continue here. How does Paul continue to direct us and continue to have us figure this out, continue to do this? Paul says, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It's an every day, every minute, hour by hour thing that we submit our worship. What is worship? Worship is telling God you are worthy of praise. A.W. Tozer says this, if you will not worship God 7 days a week, you do not worship him one day a week. So what do we do? Here's our first word out of our four words. Our first word is present. we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. This is the first step in the process to present ourselves to God. To present ourselves to God. So what's next? Let's go to verse 2. The first phrase here, do not conform to this world. Do not conform to this world. I don't know about you. And I go through highs and I go through lows and I go through valleys. But overall, I live a pretty blessed life. I am glad and thankful for the life I have. Yes, I've gone through tragedy. Yes, I've gone through fear. But I have a pretty awesome life. I'm pretty thankful for that. And we live in America, and we live in a great place, but we live in a culture that is evil. Here in America and around the world, what's going on in Europe, the things I just got back from Africa, the cultural changes I've seen over the couple of years, we live in a very, very evil world, a difficult world. And Paul is saying to us, once we present our bodies, we then do not conform to the world. Do not conform to the standards of the world. We need to be different. We need to stand out. We need to be men and women of God's word. We need to read God's word, meditate God's word. Let it penetrate our hearts so we are different. This culture is ever, ever changing. The attack on marriage, the attack on gender right now in our culture, not just in America, but in our world. If we're going to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, we have to be different. That's what Paul is telling us to do. We present, here's our second word, is separate. When we refuse to conform, we will separate from the world. That's the process that needs to happen. Once we say we're that living sacrifice, we need to then be separate from the world. How do we do that? Let's look at the next section. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The renewal of your mind. I love technology. I love iPhones, iPads, Kindles, Apple Watches, that kind of stuff. And lately I've been checking out ebooks in our library. I don't know if you know you can do that. Isn't that like the coolest thing? If you do that, you can get like a book, you know, like instead of getting a book, you can get it actually sent to your Kindle or your iPad. And it just works just like you check it out, you have a library card, you know, that kind of stuff. You guys probably know this, but it's new to me. So anyways, you just check it out. And like this morning I got an email that said, your book is almost over. You need to renew it. I'm like, oh, how do I do that? And I'm like, click, click, click. I'm like, oh, I renewed my book. Okay, I didn't have to go to the library or anything. But it's a renewal process. Well, here's the thing. Paul's saying, but to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. We need to renew our minds. And here's the thing. We have to renew our minds daily. We are in a daily battle, a daily fight. See, it said, be a living sacrifice, not a Sunday morning sacrifice. A daily living sacrifice. So we need to renew our minds all the time. There's so many things, I don't know about you, but there are so many things that Satan throws at me. My favorite verse of scripture is John 10:10, where it says, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. What does that mean? That means that Satan will throw anything at us to tempt us, to take us away from being that sacrifice. We present ourselves, we separate ourselves. We have to renew. How do we renew? Here's some things that I've put into practice that might help us to redo that. Here's the first thing is some tips. We need to practice paying attention to the thoughts going through our minds. We have to practice. The more you do it, the easier it'll be. But you'll begin to notice the thoughts, the negative thoughts that come in your mind, the temptations that come in your mind. And you'll be able to figure out what is true, what is positive, what is negative. Begin to pay attention to the things that come in your mind. And then I do this, practice paying attention to those messages you listen to. Garbage in, garbage out. What are we exposing our minds to in our ears? What music comes into our mind? What TV shows and images come into our view? See, we always need to be at the barometer of Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is praiseworthy, think on those things. Anytime I see an image that comes into me, what I do is, the third step here is I have a go-to verse. I've memorized a passage of scripture, and when I see that image, I just begin, or I hear that lyric, or hear those words, I begin to quote scripture, and I repeat it over and over in my mind so it fills my mind. And then I begin to pray. I pray it through that God will take that away to renew. This is where it gets tough. This is where it gets hard. This is where the battle happens. And the fourth thing, and we talk about this at Shores all the time, is get accountability. Get into a life group. Do life together. Yes, we have a one-on-one relationship with the Lord, but the Lord set up the church for us to have that relationship, to have it together, to walk through it together. That's part of that process, and that is difficult. That's difficult for us men sometimes. That's why it's a priority to us as a church to have men's life groups. It's tough. When we renew our mind, we demonstrate our commitment by refusing not to conform to the world, but be transformed through renewal of our minds. So we present, we separate, and here's our third word, we then transform. We then transform. Once we separate, we transform, and we become a new person. We become different from our culture, and we stand out. And we become a person that God begins to use, where God begins to do things through us that we can't do on our own. We begin to transform. Let's look at the last part of verse 2. That by the testing you may discern what it is, the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. See, this is when God begins to speak. This is when God begins to test us. This whole process is hard, but this is where I think is the hardest part, is where we begin to figure out, and we begin to wrestle with God. What is his purpose for us? What is his plan for us? And here's what begins to happen, and here's where where the hard becomes good. We can demonstrate God's will. See, that's our fourth word. Is demonstrate. Once we transform, we can then demonstrate God's perfect will. That's where he begins to do amazing things. I don't know about your life, but my life is a testament to this. I've had the privilege for the last 22 years to be in ministry. For the last 18, I've been a youth pastor. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not your ideal youth pastor. I'm not the ideal stereotype that should be a youth pastor. I joke about this a lot. A lot of you know this, but maybe you don't. I'm dyslexic. I'm very dyslexic. I see things backwards in my mind and in my brain. Words are backwards. Letters, numbers are backwards. Phone numbers don't get me to repeat a phone number quickly. My wife learned a couple years in to always say 757-479-1133. That's the church's phone number, by the way. Okay, probably like one of the only ones I actually have memorized. Like, we don't memorize phone numbers anymore. Do you all realize that? We just press a button, but we can talk about that another time. But listen, I have had the privilege, I have had the honor, and I'm not saying this to brag because I'm bragging about the Lord because it is not me, but I have seen hundreds of teenagers come to know Jesus. I have seen hundreds, I've gotten to baptize hundreds of students over the years. And that's not me. That's because I've gone through this difficult, difficult journey to lay myself down, to try to attempt to be a living sacrifice that God can transform. The last 13 years, I've gotten to go to Africa. I've gotten to help feed kids who don't have food. I've gotten to help orphans whose parents have died of AIDS and give them hope. That's not me. I don't have that ability. I don't have that leadership. But God, that's his will for my life. I don't have a choice. And he equips me. And therefore, I can demonstrate what God wants to do. The last 2 years of my life have been the most difficult years of my life. The last 3 years. Many of you, we have walked that together, haven't we? And here's the thing. I hope, I know, many of you who live life with me, you have seen God grow me. I have done things that I didn't ask to do. I've done things I didn't sign up to do. I didn't agree to do. But this is where God called me. And this was God's plan. And I have been able to demonstrate God and God's plan in that. And like I said, I'm not saying that to brag one bit. I'm saying that God can do amazing things, things that we can't do ourselves when we live Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is a summary. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Here's a summary of our four words. When we present our bodies, we separate from the world and transform by the renewing of our minds and therefore demonstrate God's perfect will in our lives. It's about 15 words longer than a Twitter statement. But here's the question. Here's the challenge. Are you ready to go all in? Are you ready for the difficult times, for the hard to be good?